You are listening to First Team Podcast Extra Time with former professional soccer player Kiesel Broom and host John Frusciante. Check out our website for all the latest news on lower division soccer. Our website is firstteampod.com.
Could be danger again. The shot parried away by Kiesel Broom.
The shot and Broom with the excellent save.
Another save. That's three in a row from Broom. Unbelievable from Kiesel Broom.
New Jersey Teamsters co-founder and CEO Sybrina, she joined First Team Podcast this week, and you can listen to that episode in full by visiting our website, and that website is firstteampod.com. But Kiesel, we have two clips that we will play from that interview, and I think they are both very interesting. The first clip is Sybrina saying that she will probably spend the next 30 to 40 years in professional soccer.
So this is what I'll probably do for the next 30, 40 years of my life.
30, 40 years in professional soccer? Is that correct?
Yes.
U.S. soccer?
Any soccer. I don't, You know, I'm not limited to the United States. Mm-hmm. We're definitely, you know, we're a part of a consortium for Dublin County FC. And even though we're not playing in Ireland this season, there is like a huge amount of push for us to be in Ireland. So I do foresee us having our club in Ireland and being able to be both in the U.S. and Europe. I don't want to limit myself at all. As long as I'm around soccer and a good organization, I think that's all I need.
So Kiesel, I'm not sure exactly the exact stat of how long a club lasts in professional soccer in the United States, but this is nothing against Sybrina, but she has the motivation to succeed, which is great, but I think the claim, at the very least, of wanting to spend, and I know she says that it's not just in U.S. soccer, but to spend half of those years in U.S. soccer, I think that's a long stretch.
I love where she's coming from. You know, I love the fact that, you know, she sees 30 to 40 years, which is, I mean, which is great for U.S. soccer in general. You know, I think for me right now, just personally, we all just came out of a pandemic, or we're just starting to come out of it. So I know a lot of people and a lot of businesses are just kind of going day by day and month by month, and just making sure that they can keep the lights on and be able to, you know, keep surviving this. I love the initiative. You know, I think that, you know, I would be, you know, I would probably question if it wasn't something that long, you know, so I love where she's coming from. I just think just right now with everything going on, especially the way that sports are, with fans are just starting to return, you know, back to the seats, and we'll see if they're going to be, you know, fully capacity, or there's going to be any type of COVID restrictions, or you're going to have the vaccine or whatever, you know, that's a huge part of it. And like I said, if you're not putting fans, if you can't put, you know, butts in the seat, that's a lot of revenue that's not going to be generated by people being able to attend. And if there's no TV deals or anything like that, that's also going to be another issue as well. So, you know, I love where she's coming from. I just think that for the time being, we got to make sure that we're going day by day and be able to build a solid foundation where then we could be able to grow on from there.
Yeah, Kiesel, over the past couple of weeks when we were sitting down doing this show, you have spoken about the clubs that I guess have failed in professional soccer and they went out of business, and probably those same owners would have probably been so excited about their project, right? And now they're not around. So yeah, I think that's great for U.S. soccer that owners want to be committed, right, for a very long term period. And that's great for the young kids and the up and coming talent in New Jersey. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, and Jersey is such a hotbed for soccer. I mean, when I remember when I was growing up, ODP, man, we used to hate when we got to get drawn against Jersey because we knew that they were going to be good. Yeah, Jersey is a great hotbed for soccer, American soccer. You have some of the best, a lot of good goalkeepers that have come out of New Jersey as well.
Yeah, and World Cup winners, right? Even on the women's side. That come from New Jersey. And the second audio clip, it's regarding Sybrina saying that they have no sponsors. And I think she was trying to say more from a COVID standpoint, but we will play the audio. Here it is from Sybrina.
it's not about the money of the team. First of all, the team would most likely, you know, ideally, I would have sponsors that would cover the cost to go on the uniforms, and that would cover a lot of the salary. This year, we have no sponsors. No one's really looking to advertise on clubs that can't have a full amount of fans in the stands or play a full season. So we're just rethinking everything. We're not relying on sponsors. The money for the girls, it's, you know, you're on a pro-am level. So we're not talking $100,000 a year. We're not talking $50,000 a year. They only play 8 matches. I mean, realistically. So the salary would be based on per match, and that would be it.
So mostly what she was trying to say there, just to provide some context, is that I asked her what's holding them back as an organization to pay their women's team that is going to play this spring in UWS in the United Women's Soccer League. And she was saying that she doesn't know if they're going to have college players or if they are going to have older players, which they will get paid something, not a living wage, of course, because it's not professional soccer. And it sort of goes into the COVID situation that a lot of businesses are currently dealing with at the moment, is that they can't have sponsors because no business, no company wants to sponsor a team that, and this is according to Sabrina, that can't play a full season and can't welcome fans back into the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way of the beast right now, you know. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I know any business realizes is you have to spend money to make money, right? And that goes into advertising, that goes for putting a quality product out there and things like that. And if that can't be done, you know, you're not going to make any money from it. So right now, especially with just the way things are, I mean, I think there's more affordable ways to get the word out there and things like that. I mean, you could put a Facebook ad that'll cost you like $15 and it'll reach over like 1,000 people. You know what I'm saying? So that budget might have to be a little bit more, obviously. But there are a lot of different other options where people can go out. Like, you could go buy some computer paper and print out stuff and put it somewhere. You know, like, there's a lot of different options that can be done. Mm-hmm. It's just right now, it's just so tough. But you know, for businesses, obviously they want to get their name out there, but they're doing the most cost effective way that's not going to cost them an arm and a leg to let somebody know who they are. And I think right now, especially the way that, you know, the sports arena is, you know, not being able to have people physically there, or, and because think about it, right? If you're a food place and you have the name on the jersey, on the front of the jersey, that food's probably going to be at that stadium, right? But if there's no fans in the stadium, that food's not going to get bought and that brand's not going to get out there. So it might be great to have that, you know, opportunity to have it on the jersey, but if nobody's actually buying it, you know, it's an investment that might not yield the result that they want.
Yeah, yeah, because you understand, I guess, the problems in lower division soccer, and we have discussed that on multiple episodes. But I guess the problem with professional soccer in the United States is that we want players on the men's and the women's side to receive a living wage, but I don't think we, I guess, put pressure on the stakeholders in lower division soccer on trying to build out that business model, right? Because I don't think it's sustainable to just get some sponsors, right? And try to say, hey, that's how these clubs are going to pay people living wages. There has to be a more sustainable model that's not an owner that has billions or millions of dollars, because we see that with the New York Cosmos, with Rocco B. Camiso. He is worth about $7 billion, but for some reason, he doesn't see U.S. soccer and the Cosmos as a venture that he wants to be a part of at the moment, right? So I think that's something that we probably have to discuss one day.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's definitely a discussion for another day. But mm-hmm. If Rocco wants to, you know, throw a couple $100,000 my way, you know, I'm not going to say no.
If
he wants to throw it my way.
Maybe Mediacom could sponsor the podcast. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. I'll take, you know, I'll even take $1,000. You know, if you just want to throw $1,000 my way, I'll take that too.
Yeah, and lastly here, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the New Jersey Teamsters, they have made an investment through Sabrina and her husband Alex. They have personally invested in an Irish club called Dublin County FC. Mm-hmm. And they have created a pathway for their men's team to achieve the next level, and they have launched a women's team that I have mentioned earlier on. They will play in UWS, and that's set to start in the spring, and they are planning on offering that pathway to their men's and their women's teams.
I love that. I mean, that is awesome, and I think for a lot of players, the dream is to get overseas. Right. But sometimes it's always hard to find a way to get overseas. But having a partnership or whatever you want to call it, where you have a team here in the States, and if you can based off, and one thing that I love about it is like based off people's work ethics and their merit and things like that, they have an opportunity to go overseas to play in a top club in a top country. And have that experience. So I think I love that. I think they should. Kudos for them for doing that.
Lastly, keep it locked at firstteampod.com. That is firstteampod.com. That is the one-stop shop for everything on lower division soccer.